Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Jaguars Thursday.
J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
Here we go at the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, and Jeff Loggeman on a rain-soaked Thursday evening.
It is miserable out there.
Tony, you're still covered in
Yeah,
rain,
it's miserable.
It looks like.
Yeah, but
it's
you know cold. What? I mean, the last 4 days have been worth today.
I don't know.
I mean, it's 82 degrees yesterday.
Yeah, I want it like that every day.
No.
Yes.
No.
Why?
You gotta pay the piper.
No,
a
you
bit.
Don't.
Yeah,
no,
you don't.
I know.
It was wonderful. The last 4 days, I mean, shorts, flip-flops.
It's nice, yeah.
You know,
it's
perfect days for fishing.
Today was terrible, though.
Traffic was a nightmare, too, right?
Apparently. Nightmare to get here. It was just took almost an hour from Ponte Vedra.
That's a long way.
Yeah.
What's the normal, that 30 minutes?
I mean, no traffic under 30.
A lot of rain.
A lot of rain. A lot of folks trying to get home this time of the day as well.
I'm just glad traffic was moving.
Yeah.
Because what was it, about 4 or 5 months ago?
Oh, it just stopped?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were dead standstill at the Hart Bridge.
We almost both missed the show.
Yeah. But today, it was moving, and I was going, yeah, I like it. As long as it's moving, I'm good.
Plenty to get to tonight. We'll break down Super Bowl 50 coming up, both sides, and look at some of the matchups in the game. But first, Tony, we talked about this just a moment ago. You're down 30.
Yeah, almost 30.
I can see it in the chin and the neck area.
I feel good. I still got a long way to go, though.
You had to be down. What's your goal?
My goal is going to be between 270 and 275.
Okay.
I'm 317 right now.
Wow.
I mean, I was over
you 3. You were 346.
And that's being kind. I think I was honestly more than that, but I was
350.
It was close to 3.
As Leon Searcy would say, about 350.
Yeah, 50.
If you waited at the Senior Bowl, you would have been like 350. It would
have been higher. Yeah. So, so down almost 30, and I got a ways to go.
You've been working out or just eating better?
Eating a lot better, and some light weights and stuff like that, but mainly just eating, being very conscious of what I eat.
Hmm. That's a change.
Yeah.
It is.
It is. It's a lifestyle change is what it is.
Yeah, the program I'm doing is working very well. Yeah. Highly recommend it.
Got a little tan from Hawaii, too.
Yeah, I see.
I mean, my wife couldn't go. She had to back out last minute, pretty much last minute because she had a cheerleading event for the girls. So I was out there by myself, hung out, read a lot, read a couple books, walked on the beach.
That's
Called what else are you going to do?
Come on.
What else are you going to do out there?
Ride a bike down the mountain?
Nah.
Check out the helicopter volcano tour?
He's not quite to that point.
I almost did a helicopter tour.
Fishing?
Did not want to go fishing.
Man. What's wrong with you, man?
Yeah, man.
You know what? It was actually as busy as I've been, and after the end of a long year, it was nice just to relax.
Yeah, yeah, I got you. I got you.
You went to practice one day, right?
Went to practice, which was
air quote.
Yeah.
That's a highlight.
I don't know if that's really practice. In the game, they need to change it. They need to do something.
They need to get rid of it.
It was really bad. It started out okay, but third, fourth quarter was embarrassing. I was embarrassed.
They had guys at different positions and everything.
Yeah, I mean, you have Michael Bennett running the ball. You have Odell Beckham playing
safety.
Mm. I mean,
come on.
I mean, it's supposed to be an all-star game. I played in it. I'll just say this. I remember when I played in it. I'm not saying it was a full-speed regular season game by any means, but I'll never forget when I got to Hawaii that first year, I asked the veterans, like, what to expect because you're a young guy. You don't know what to expect. And they said, listen, first and second down is about 75-80% run blocking. You know, come off the ball, but you're not trying to dump people and finish them and they're not going to, but they're going to try to come off and make a tackle.
Practice tempo.
On third down, it's a pass situation. It's pretty much full speed. They're going to try to smoke the quarterback. And in the last 2 minutes of the game, if the money's on the line, it's regular season football. And I listened to an interview of Troy Aikman. He's saying, man, when I was back at the Pro Bowl, you better watch out because those guys were trying to smoke the quarterbacks. They were. I'll never forget. On the AFC, Todd – I don't know if I told the story or not.
This is the Reggie White story?
Well, that's a different story. But Todd Stussy was a Pro Bowl tackle for the NFC. And I can't – it was like Michael McCrary and Derek Thomas and maybe Bruce Smith or whoever the defensive ends for the AFC, and they were begging to go on the field because he was struggling, and they were running by him and smoking the quarterback play after play. And they would be arguing on the sideline who got to go over there to go rush against them. This, what I saw last Sunday, JP, you could have played in it. I mean, you literally could have gone.
How is that supposed to mean?
Meaning it was awful.
What are you trying to say?
Pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, I'm not a pro football player. Yeah, that's what that means.
Latavius Murray,
that's the point.
Who, by the way, was an alternate. He started the shenanigans. He was the worst defender early, and then they were all bad. He would run and then literally stop at contact. He never got tackled once.
Oof.
He got hugged.
Oof.
It was
But I'll see, take, I I'll get take it the player share of that
I mean,
game.
What are they getting now? 70?
Like 80.
70 or 80,000 for the winning team.
Maybe 70, I don't know.
A losing team gets, you know, 40, 50, whatever it is. 40, something like that.
Oh, that's all?
No, I mean, it's great money.
Yeah.
It's great money. But, I mean, if you put it in perspective of what the players that are typically, you know, voted in the Pro Bowl, not playing in the Pro Bowl, but the ones that are voted in, I mean, that's small potatoes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a significant risk of you know, seven-figure, eight-figure contracts.
But, Jeff, it was small potatoes when we played in it.
Yeah, but it's much smaller potato now.
Well, it was 12 and 25. I mean, I'm just telling you, it wasn't a lot of money back then. But there, and I don't want to disparage any of the guys now, but I think there's more pride.
But
I think there was more pride in what you were
doing.
More of
a business.
I guess.
I mean, it really has.
There was,
it's become
it was
more of a business.
I mean, it was competitive. The other thing they need to do, this Team Irvin, Team Rice is idiotic. I mean, can it just be the AFC and NFC, please? You have no idea who's playing for who. You got a bunch of people running around.
Teammates tackling each
other. It was stupid. It really was.
Seahawk crime.
You either have to figure out a way for guys to play harder, which I don't think is realistic, or you cancel the whole thing and make it a skills competition and have the award ceremony out there around the game. Or I had two different ideas. One, you make it a Future Stars game.
But you can't. It's
why couldn't you make it a Future Stars game?
Who are you gonna? Who?
You're your best
which
young players
future
out there?
Star is gonna risk a career playing in a game?
I mean,
they're doing it at the Senior Bowl.
What if you did? Or the other thing? What if you had the Pro Bowl and made it $100,000 winner take all? Each guy, if you're on the winning team, you get $100,000. You lose, you get nothing.
Yeah, I thought that might give a little extra motivation.
I like that.
But who's gonna go out there and with the chance of getting nothing?
Go win.
If the game was out of hand
and it would be bad football at the end.
I still don't think it would change the number of guys that participate in it. You know, and I don't know, did you guys read Rob Gronkowski's comments?
Yeah, well, they got to change it. It can't be between the championship game and the Super Bowl.
Gronkowski had a great point. He said, you know, if you're playing in an NFC or an AFC title game and you're the loser.
You don't want to get on a plane and go.
No. I mean, get on a plane. How many hours is it to Hawaii?
It was long way from Jacksonville.
If you've got a good connection from a major city, it's still
okay. I could have gone
a long time
from here to Atlanta. Is what, an hour?
Yeah,
and it's I think it was 9 or 10 hours
to
from
Honolulu.
Atlanta to Honolulu
in the air.
And what you know what happens when you fly?
You get dehydrated. You get tight.
Yeah, and you swell. You know, so any injury you have gets inflamed.
Magnified.
Absolutely. You know, so I mean, you can't expect guys to turn around and play a game 1 week after the season just ended. Can't do it. I mean, I just don't see – and I totally get why guys aren't going. I mean, the money's not good enough. The risk isn't good enough. And the body's not ready to do it. You know? I mean, to me, you just eliminate it. Why? What's the attraction of the pro? Lowest ratings yet, I think. What the television ratings came
still,
out.
You know, it's still bigger than like a regular season
basketball.
Westwood. It's still bigger than basketball and everything. It's unreal.
But it's the worst ever.
It's terrible. I would either have some sort of young guys playing against call or some crazy, it's not even the Pro Bowl really anymore, or really what I would do is make it a skills
competition. Make it, remember the old All-Stars? Mm-hmm. You know, the superstars?
Yeah, make it a skills competition.
Yeah. And make, you know, offensive linemen against offensive linemen.
Make it fun.
And have some fun. Yep. You know, and make it
and the people of Hawaii would still like it because they can get out and see the pros and see autographs.
And then they'll get the ones that are actually voted in.
Would people watch it on TV?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yes.
You put something on like that in March or April, whatever it may be. March probably would be best time before the basketball tourney starts up. You know, and then the guys that are voted in are going to go.
Guys would watch it.
I mentioned the Reggie White story. Let's quickly recap that, and we'll get off the Pro Bowl for the rest of the night.
Okay, so that was
this story.
First year as well. And so I'm playing, you know, when you're over there, even if you make the Pro Bowl, it's still veteran kind of rules. I mean, the guys who have seniority play where they want to and when they want to, pretty much. And so I was the youngest guy, and I was all three of us were left tackles. It was Bruce Armstrong, Richmond Webb, myself, all left tackles. Well, someone has to play right tackle. So they look at me and say, you're playing right tackle the majority of the time. We'll come in and spell you so you don't have to play the whole game, but you're the right tackle, which is fine and dandy until I looked over there, and it's Reggie White and William Fuller, both left ends, by the way.
William Fuller it was an incredibly strong, powerful defensive end for the Houston Oilers.
Unbelievable.
Great player.
And he went to Philly for the end of his career, or second half of his career. So I'll never forget, first play of the game, I'm in there, and Reggie didn't want to start for some reason, or I don't know what was happening. I can't start. So the two guys who made our starters, they have to start. So I go in the next series as the right tackle.
That's right.
And it's so William Fuller's turn because he didn't start, Reggie did. So Vinny Testaverde is quarterback, and first play is a pass. No, first play is a draw. So I'm in a two-point. I set William Fuller. He spins inside. I barely touch him, and he hits a running back square in the mouth as hard as you can imagine. I'm thinking, okay, that didn't go well. Second down. Here we go again, and now it's drop back pass. So I set, spins again, or does a hump move, one of the two, I can't remember, but beats me within 1.5 seconds inside, and thankfully it was a quick route, but as Vinny's throwing the ball, he gets tattooed underneath his chin, and I could hear the air go out of his lungs.
He gave you a good look.
Yeah, it was great. So now it's third down, and I'm going – you know, you can't – I'm not going to look around and say, hey, can I get some help, guys? I mean, it's not what you do.
Pro Bowl.
Yeah, so I was like,
for God's sake,
I better figure it out. I figure it out. So literally, I go, I got to figure it out. So now I'm in a right stance, hand stance. So I went to the old school thought of, like, you know, screw technique, and I probably used a different word than that at this point, and got a two-point and literally just set off the ball and waited for him and just clamped him. And he didn't go anywhere. And I did for the rest of the game. It was 1-4. And he was trying all his moves, and he couldn't beat me. So that worked. So I figured him out. So now Reggie White comes in. And all week I'd been losing sleep about Reggie White playing right left defense and me right tackle. I mean, I'm at the Pro Bowl. I'm supposed to be enjoying myself. Sure. I'm laying by the pool thinking, oh, my gosh, I got to block Reggie White. And knowing on first and second down it'd be fine because he's not going to go hard. But sooner or later it's going to be third down. So we get in there, and Mark's quarterback now. And I'm thinking, all right, you know, I felt better when Vinny was back there because I really didn't care if he got hit. He was playing for Baltimore. Who cares? Right. Now it's my guy, though. And so
it's the blind side.
And, yeah, so, you know, I got a lot of things going. And so what is the one thing as an offensive tackle you don't want to do if you play Reggie White? You don't want to be the guy who gets humped and thrown out of the bar.
No.
And if anyone's watched Reggie White, he is historically known for this inside hump move where he takes you and throws you off your feet. Not only do you look like an idiot – he's hitting the quarterback.
Yeah.
So I said, I don't care what else happens. That is not happening to me. So I set heavy inside. Cause I figured he wasn't fast enough to kind of beat me outside. Set kind of heavy inside off the ball, and he tries to hump me. Well, I'm looking at that inside hand, and I just clamp down on it. Doesn't go anywhere. Stop him cold. Tries it again, and now he's yelling at me. I'm holding him. Do it again. Tries to speed me. Can't speed me. Tries to hump me. Can't hump me. Well, then all of a sudden, like the third or fourth time, whatever it is now, he's not happy because he says I'm holding him. He can't hunt me, and he decides to bull rush me. So
Reggie's standby.
Yeah. So
when all else fails, I'm stronger than you.
Yeah. Now. So I try to punch him.
Come on, big boy.
And he gets into my chest, and I say I try to sit down. You know, sit my hips, and I take one step back with my left foot, and I thought my Achilles was going to rupture as I tried to brace myself. And at that point, I realized I'm not going to stop him. So I have a choice, and this is going through my head in, like, real time. I can either
run, Mark.
Run over,
Mark.
Or I can do the other trick of the trade that I've learned. You kind of grab him, and you start backpedaling with him and try to go past the quarterback with him.
Pull him. Pull him by.
Yeah, you're kind of in which I did.
The old red wagon trick.
Absolutely. Ran backwards as fast as he could. Mark sitting there. Reggie couldn't get off. Mark threw the ball. But as Mark looked back at me and he says, "What in the heck are you doing back here with me?" I'm like, "I'm trying to block him." And so the moral of the story is I could stop two of the three Reggie White moves, and thankfully he was tired and didn't want to bull rush too many more times and continued to try to hump me and speed rush me and couldn't. And I think maybe one more bull, and wasn't quite as bad as that first one. That first one, though, I was lucky to be alive by the end of it.
There you have it. The good old days at the Pro Bowl.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Then I'm watching this stuff, Jeff. Right. I'm like, here's what my thought was. I could have gone out there in my sandals, put on a uniform, and give me a pair of shoes. I don't care what size they are, and caught and blocked just fine in the Pro Bowl this year.
Yeah, no, I don't know,
Jeff,
about that.
That's how slow that – I'm telling you. You could have, if you'd have gone full speed, the only guy that was a problem was Michael Bennett. He started going full speed. And then he got back there a couple times, and he quit.
Pro Bowl incentives.
Yeah, it was bad.
You can win a pair of tickets to the first event to be held at the all-new Amphitheater and the 2016 regular season home opener at the upgraded U.S. Assure Club in the State of the Franchise Grand Prize Sweepstakes. Register at Jaguars.com. Also, season ticket renewals are coming soon. One-click renewals on Jaguars.com. For information, call 633-2000. Early renewals for the 2015 pricing by February 29th. So look the next few days in your inbox. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman. Jaguars Thursday continues. Glad you're with us tonight on a rainy Thursday evening in Jacksonville. By the way, the performers around the Super Bowl this year, Lady Gaga will have the national anthem.
Yeah, I'm kind of skeptical of that.
Why? I can't imagine why.
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, she can sing. You know, but I hope she is very respectful of our national anthem.
I think she will.
I think she'll be fine. Yep.
Well, and the halftime is Beyonce and Coldplay, right?
Yes, Coldplay slash Beyonce.
How do you get those two together? I mean, aren't they a little different genres?
Don't they always do two kind of different types, right? Well, last year was Katy Perry and Lenny Kravitz or something?
I guess.
Lenny Kravitz can jam.
Yeah.
Lenny Kravitz can play with anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but she's a little different.
Coldplay's. I'm looking for. They do a good job.
I like Coldplay.
Need Janet Jackson back.
Tony's a big Gaga fan.
Nah, not really. No,
let's check your phone. It's
commercials.
Your phone,
you know, looking
right?
forward to the commercials.
I couldn't tell you one song that Lady Gaga sings.
Me either.
I don't even know. Don't look at me. I don't know.
She can sing pretty good. I couldn't tell you the name of a song.
No, I couldn't either. I'm looking forward to the game. I got, you know, my big dilemma is I got invited to two different Super Bowl parties.
Oh, you're a popular man.
No.
Can't do it.
And the big thing is I might go to zero of them. They're both good friends.
Yeah,
I
see, then you can't watch the game.
Well, it's not just that. There's going to be a lot of food I can't eat.
Yeah. Okay. Because you're eating for 5 hours.
See, the Super Bowl, for me, I want to be in front of, you know, the TV with not a lot of people. I want to watch the game.
So you watch it by yourself?
No.
You have a couple guys
over? Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll have a few people. I mean, me and Tara are going to watch it. But, I mean, I'm not going to have, like, 50 people around watching a game.
Yeah.
It's too much of a distraction.
I'm with you. You get too many questions.
I want to watch the game.
I love the whole pregame day, too. That's the day anything this week.
I don't watch any of
that. I won't watch anything all week. I won't watch anything. I won't even turn the TV on until it's about 15, 20 minutes before kickoff.
I won't watch any of the pregame stuff.
Really?
Because you just get burned out.
I get bored of it. I don't want to hear these guys. I'm just sorry. I mean, I'll tell you, I mean, yeah, I'll do the same. The problem is I got my whole family out of town except for my 16-year-old son. So I might and he's going to go to a party. So I'll either watch it by myself or go over to one of the two parties.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing.
You know, I did that for the AFC title game. I brought my own meal. Funny. I'm like, I'm that guy.
Brown bag guy.
That's all right.
Yeah. Hey, I'm getting healthy.
Being disciplined.
I got so fat.
Gosh, being disciplined. I'm looking forward to the game, and I'm looking forward to the commercials. I'm not watching any of the
– you can pre-watch them.
I'm not doing it.
Pre-watch what?
The commercials.
Where?
Online.
Online, you can everywhere. You can get a sneak peek of all of them. I'm not doing it.
What's the point? The whole point is waiting for the commercial.
Exactly. The greatest NFL Super Bowl commercial of all time might be, well, two of them. One where the old couple's driving down the road and they're barely creaking the tires. They're moving so slow. And the one old lady says to the man, says, slow down, you're driving like a bat out of Haiti.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't remember that
one. Remember that one?
I'll be honest with you. Maybe I'm, I got problems.
And then the Tabasco. The guy,
I don't
like
remember any commercials.
Every bite he's putting sloshing the Tabasco sauce on his pizza or whatever he's eating.
Well, see, oh, I do kind
of. Then a mosquito lands on his arm.
Yeah.
And it just starts to, eventually just blows up.
Yeah, I do remember that one.
There's all, of course, all the great Budweiser commercials.
Oh, yeah. The Clydesdale. I get tired of the Clydesdales,
the frogs,
kicking footballs and
the
all
lizards.
That.
Yeah, it's
kind
all
of,
those
kind
guys
of out
came
on that.
Out
yeah,
Super
it's
Bowl,
kind of getting old.
Well, and then you know you're going to get the one GoDaddy with
the
naked
girls.
Yeah,
with Danica Patrick and the girls. Yeah.
Yeah, to see the rest of it, go to GoDaddy.com. Yeah.
Have you ever gone to GoDaddy?
I have.
No, you have not.
Oh, yeah, he has. Hey, you know he has.
Have you?
Never.
I haven't either. I've never gone.
Marketing works.
You go to GoDaddy.
No, it's a website. They build websites.
I understand what they do, but when you go, are they like?
No, it's just like they show the commercials, all it is. There's no.
You're disappointed. You're hoping there's more.
There's always a little hope.
JP was always
a little hope.
JP's trying to get a sneak peek.
I'm going to see more if I go to GoDaddy.com.
Click right there.
JP's got his iPad out right in front of the TV. GoDaddy.com.
Watching it live. So let's touch on the game a little bit here. Next segment we'll go the other way around. So let's start Panthers offense versus Broncos defense. Matchup of Cam versus the Broncos.
I'm going to stick with what I said. If there is a offense in the National Football League that has the ability to neutralize those two great pass rushers and DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller, it's Carolina. Because the way that Mike Shula runs that offense, he does a fantastic job of utilizing Cam Newton's skills. Cam Newton is a special player. He's had a great year. And I wasn't on the Cam train earlier in the year. You know, I'll be the first one to admit that. But the way that he has commanded that offense and the way that he can command that offense because it's built for him is special. And the way that he is a running threat, and you can't account for the running threat in the NFL or at the NFL level, they take advantage of it. And Jonathan Stewart is a very talented back. And I think the least respected part of Carolina's team all year long has been the offensive line. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, no, I think they've gotten better and better. Michael Orr's had his best year of his career probably. Remmers, right tackle's good. Norland, the left guard's done, not a great athlete, but played well. Khalil. I always forget the game of the right guard's name.
Here's the thing, though. If you took every one of those guys, Tony.
Khalil's a very good player, but individually.
Individually, they're not that great.
Yeah.
You know, Khalil's a really good player.
Yeah.
But if you took them all and the good offensive lines have the ability to play better as a whole than they can play individually.
That's right. So
that takes time together, right?
Yeah, if you look at the Denver defense, though, and Jeff's right. I mean, Carolina is 50-50 run. They have the highest run percentage in the NFL. Mike Shula, and it's a elaborate run game as far as the outer look they give you. A lot of zone read, motion, shifting, and everything else. It's pretty basic if you break it down, but it's going to give you a lot of different looks, and they play action pass off it as well. Atlanta shut them down the second or third last game of the year. And I think the way you have to do it, and where Denver can be effective, if they can do a good job in the run game and force Carolina out of who they are and force them more into pass-only situations, then I think they can get after the quarterback a little bit. Now, the reality is, even when you're able to do that, it's hard to locate Cam because he's so big, so strong, and he's so elusive. So it's not like they're just going to be going back and Tom Brady's going to be sitting right there and they can tee off and go at it. But that's how they can do it, because the one thing that Denver can, and where I think they have a chance, they're good enough outside, and Carolina's not that great, but with Aqib Talib and Chris Harris, they can go play man-to-man, bring the extra safety down the box, cover up Greg Olsen with him, and say, we're going 8 in the box, and we are going to sell out and make you guys throw the ball to win. And I think they have to, because if Carolina gets the run game going, they have no chance.
Get it.
You got Olsen. You got Ginn on the outside, right?
Funchess, the rookie out of Michigan.
Yeah, yeah, Philly Brown.
Philly Brown. Philly Don't call him Corey because he dropped everything when he was Corey.
Yeah,
Philly
he still drops everything.
A little less. Yeah. Not much.
But that was a big concern in camp. Benjamin goes down. Who are they going to throw the ball to, right?
Well, that's why, I mean, listen.
It's kind of a joke.
Yeah.
They were kind of the laughing stock wide receiving core in the league.
We laughed when they came in.
We did.
Just stop Greg Olsen, you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And Greg Olsen had a great year, pro bowler. One of the best tight ends in football this year. But it goes to just how good Cam is. And I've been on Cam. I've said Cam's a really good quarterback for a long time. I've liked Cam. But he went to another level this year because he's always physically had the ability with his legs and his arm. It's special, his arm talent. But he got more accurate this year, and I think it's because he was healthy. He was really hurt last year. But the ability to do things at the line of scrimmage this year is much better than he's ever been mentally. He understands. I mean, I think he owns the offense, as Jeff was saying, for the first time in his career. So he's at the line of scrimmage making adjustments, making checks, and getting them in the best play. And then the best thing about Cam this year is when it counts the most in the fourth quarter, he's been at his best.
Yeah, but you got to give credit to Mike Shula.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about this is an unconventional player. And how many coaches do you find in the National Football League to try to make the players fit their scheme? I mean, it happens all the time. But Mike Shula has said, you know, no ego involved. I've got to do what's best for this team, and we're going to run what he runs best. And fortunately, he's had a quarterback that has been able to be healthy all year long, which has enabled him to do that. Which, you know, you got concerns, I think, long term. Can you continue to run that kind of offense with a quarterback whose mobility and, you know, those special traits that he has, they're not going to last forever.
No.
You know, so he's going to have to transition to a more NFL style of offense. But in the meantime, Mike Shula has done a wonderful job of making that offense work and work for Cam Newton's skill set.
I think I asked you this last week. I don't know if you were on the line with us at the time, Tony, but is Mike Shula going to be a head coach in the league?
Boy, I don't know. I mean, the fact that he got no looks this year, I don't even think he got an interview. I don't think anyone called.
I think there was a question about Mike, and then something came out. And I remember, if I'm remembering correctly, he was mentioned for an opening, and then somebody came out and said that Mike Shula is not interested. And Mike Shula, or some agent did. Mike doesn't have an agent. Mike does that all by himself, and Mike actually came out in the week off and said that, look, I don't know who they attributed that quote to. He said, but I never said that I was not interested in some of the openings because I'm my own agent. And so supposedly one team was interested, then they heard that Mike wasn't interested, but it wasn't from Mike himself.
But the fact that he wasn't one of the guys who's top guys being interviewed is shocking to me after what he did this year. I thought he would get a chance. He was the head coach of Alabama. I mean, you know that. Didn't have a lot of success.
No, he did okay for what he had.
But compared, he came off of probation, so he was dealt with a tough hand.
Yeah. Hell, he gave Nick Saban all the tools.
That's right.
When Nick Saban walked in the door.
Shula's seniors won that first championship.
I agree. Yep. That's what I'm saying. I mean, but, you know, I think people have a bad taste because they look at it, he got fired there. And because you don't know the whole story. You know, does it hurt him that his brother David was a disaster?
No.
Not a very good coach at Cincinnati?
No, I think it's more – first of all,
he should – I don't know why.
Here's the reality.
He should get a chance, though.
Here's the reality. We know Mike. Does Mike have this wonderful, bubbly personality?
He's not real charismatic.
No. You know, so a lot of people are turned off by Mike's personality. And I like Mike. He's a good guy. But he's not going to go into an interview room
or
casually meet somebody, you know, some personnel guy, you know, through the years. And he's not going to wow the personnel guy because Mike, to be honest with you, he's really dull. Doesn't mean he can't be a great head coach. But, you know, I mean, some of these guys are looking for coaches that have a little bit of charisma. Mike doesn't, he may have it.
One of the best coaches.
But it's not shown.
One of the best coaches in the league has no personality.
Belichick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rex Ryan has all the personality in the world, right?
He does. He was out at the Pro Bowl. I saw him.
There you have it.
Did he get any new tattoos while you were laying
around
the pool with him?
I saw his wife.
He got a tattoo of Tyrod Taylor anywhere?
No, I saw his wife there. I didn't see any tattoos. Or
he wasn't playing with his wife's feet.
You know what the funny thing is, Jeff? You bring up the foot fetish deal, which is all public knowledge, right?
We're not
breaking news. But I saw Rex. I saw his wife. And I had to look at the feet. I couldn't help it. I'm like, what? And I couldn't, and then I couldn't understand what the big, like, it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, is that, I had to look at the feet.
Pacelli looks at Rex Ryan's wife's feet.
Why? Just because the media.
That's a headline you want to read. Well, the first the story thought, too, right?
The first thought that came to my mind is Rex. I mean, because I saw Rex, and then his wife.
It was a story.
I've seen Rex a bunch, and I've never thought of anything about the foot fetish. But his wife was right next to him, and the foot fetish story came into my brain. And by now, like without like, it was like an involuntary action. I looked at the feet.
Republic Services.
Hold on. Just gave him heck for GoDaddy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the feet are a little bit more appropriate.
You think?
I mean, they shit sandals on.
Let's go to break. We'll come back and flip over the Super Bowl.
I mean, I didn't think it was inappropriate to look at someone's feet.
It's not. It's absolutely not.
I wasn't doing what you look at.
It is America.
I know what you look at.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses in Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. More Super Bowl preview coming up. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio. Lady Gaga will sing the national anthem.
What
for
song
Super Bowl
is that?
50. That is Poker Face.
Poker Face. I didn't know that song. Poker Face. I've never understood that song.
Jaguars.
What's the purpose of that song? Poker Face. What's the story, Joe? I know you're a musical.
I can read the lyrics to you.
If you're going out with her, you don't know if she's good or bad.
She's got a poker face. Well, by watching her videos,
she wears poker wigs too.
Yeah, but by watching her videos, my guess is she's bad.
But she's got a song.
That's my guess.
I could be wrong. She got quite a few hits, but she got a song came out after this, after Poker Face, called Telephone, that she sang with Beyonce.
Ah, there you go. Maybe we'll have a reunion at halftime.
Wow, I'm excited.
All right.
Are you a big Beyonce fan, Joe?
Apparently, he is.
Yeah, I like Beyonce.
Yeah.
Jaguars Thursday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Jeff Loggeman. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com.
Before we go any further, Joe, get back on the mic. you know, the lead singer of Earth, Wind & Fire died today.
That's right. I didn't know that.
Maurice something.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
I figured that'd be your era.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
My brother had a couple of their albums.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid. I mean, back when he Maurice was in music, I wasn't quite into it.
We rocked out to a Earth, Wind, and Fire song in San Francisco
once.
I don't want to know what else you guys are doing,
this was,
though.
This is getting weird.
Strange.
Yeah, this show is getting weird tonight. Evening.
We got Feet, we got Joe and Jeff talking about San Francisco and Earth, Wind, and Fire rocking out. Jeff doesn't remember what happened.
GoDaddy.com.
I'll work the clutch, you work the shifter.
That was it, wasn't it?
Basically,
we were in a clown car.
Super Bowl 50, speaking of San Francisco and Santa Clara, we'll flip it over now. Broncos offense. Peyton could be in his last run against the Panthers defense. Does Peyton have enough juice to get this done?
Yeah, I think he does. Listen, it's 2 weeks off. It's going to be great weather. He's going to let it all hang out. And the one thing that Peyton still has is a great mind. And he's going to be able to get him in the best situation. And if you look at the Panthers' defense, they weren't great in the second half of the season.
Well, they lost some key components.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Thomas Davis is going to play with the broken arm. But how long – I mean, that's one hit away from not doing well.
Put a lot of screws in there.
Yeah. That's
– and a big plate.
Jared Allen's playing with a broken foot. I mean, how effective is he going to be?
Well, I mean, how effective was he when he was
healthy? That's my point.
You know.
And so, listen, they have Luke Kuechly, maybe the best linebacker in football, best middle linebacker. And the defensive line is very stout.
Otulele and Short.
And Short.
Really good.
K-1 Short. And so, and the Denver offensive line is not great. But I think what Peyton will be able to do is he'll be able to get them in really good situations, and they've been running the ball better because of it. And you still have Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders out there who are really good players. And
so he doesn't have the arm.
Well, listen, He has found a way to win the last three games.
What did he say?
And here's the thing. New England's defense, if you go look at the ratings, is right there with Carolina's. It's really good this year.
He said earlier this week he had a baseball analogy. You know, I may not have the fastball anymore, but I can still get guys out.
Yeah, he's like Gaylord Perry.
Yeah,
you know what he's like? He's like the guy – I know you saw it because you're a baseball game. I don't know if you saw the movie, Jeff. Major League?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the
guy? Wild Thing, man.
No, not Wild Thing. He throws the old man who has to juice up the ball and Vaseline it up, and he's like – throwing curves and change-ups, has no fastball, but just gets people out.
Yeah, hit the corners, get a guy
out,
so he can hit his spots.
I think Peyton's going to have a good game. I really do. I think Carolina's going to win, but I think Peyton's going to have a good game.
What is Peyton's Super Bowl?
Not great.
Two games.
No, this is this will be his fourth. He has three.
Okay.
He won one, lost one in Indy.
Yep.
Lost one in Denver.
So this is number four.
Now, in fairness to the Denver
I mean, his Super Bowl performances have not been good.
No, but the one in Denver, it's not his fault the ball snapped over his head.
Well,
to start the game,
it's his fault because he tried to audible on the first play of the
game.
That's
what he always does.
No, but you don't do it in the first part of the game.
Oh, come on, Jeff.
That was the dumbest thing you could have ever done.
Jeff went.
He didn't like the look.
Jeff went from a Cam Newton hater, now a Cam Newton lover, and now he's taking all his hate for Cam Newton over to Peyton.
No.
It's funny how it's shifted.
No, I'm just saying.
Bandwagon.
In the biggest game.
You're a flopper.
You don't go out there on the first play with any kind of ability to change
the
play.
So you say the play's locked.
You locked the first couple plays. You locked it. Let the nerves, let the adrenaline calm down.
As an offensive lineman, I would like you to be my coordinator and call that because I agree.
Yeah.
But if you play with Peyton Manning, my guess is nothing's locked.
But, I mean, even if it's Peyton Manning, you can't do that at the beginning of the game because it's not all about you.
I'm just telling
you. About the team.
And this could be me just wanting it to be. That I want Peyton to play well. I want him to go out in the right. He's one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game.
Be great if it came down by five, 2 minutes to go, Peyton gets the ball.
And he drove it and
drives down
and they score.
Absolutely.
I'll be happy. Because I really don't care who wins the game. I mean, do you really care?
No.
I don't either.
I just want a good game.
I want a good game.
Yeah. I want to be entertained.
And the only care I have is I'd like Peyton to play well because I respect what he's done in this league.
No, he's done a tremendous – I mean – unbelievable career.
Unbelievable
career.
And I hate seeing
I'm not wishing that he has a great game.
You're wishing he's that bad. You don't
I'm just wishing for a good game. If Peyton Manning has a bad game, so be it. Peyton Manning has a bad game.
No, I got it. I'm just saying.
You know what I mean? I'm not rooting for him. I'm not rooting for Cam Newton. I'm just rooting for a good game.
I think he's rooting
for Cam.
I'm not rooting for Cam.
Cam love.
You got a little Cam love going on.
You used to hate Cam, too. God, yeah. You hated
you
him.
Flopped like a fish.
I used to just argue for
it's
Cam.
It's just so unconventional. It took me a long time to like him just because he's not a great passer. You know? But, I mean, it's working.
That call want, Joe?
So you flipped.
No, but we've already gone.
He's going to get better as a passer.
I feel bad.
You hope so.
Who is Cam?
Cam, yeah.
He's a great passer right now.
That's what I'm saying, right? Come on.
It will be amazing when you start to see him throw with his whole body. Because when you watch him right now, he's got a great arm.
Oh, it's a rocket.
Okay. But it's all arm. I mean, if he learns to use his hips and his feet and everything else to help him throw, we're going to be talking about him being a phenomenal thrower. Because right now it's just arm.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's take one quick call. Chris on the west side.
Well, you don't like calls, dude.
What's up, Chris?
I thought that was my role, not to like calls.
Hey, guys. JP, while you were out, Vaseli held down the announcements. And, you know, he started out strong, but kind of choked at the end. A little disappointed in his performance.
I listened to it. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was outstanding.
I didn't want to bring it up, but that's okay.
First of all, the font of JP's notes are so small, you have to be either – you know, have a magnifying glass or be 25 years old.
Yeah,
that
means you're getting old.
Well, I can't. I mean, Pete couldn't read it. Pete gave up. Pete just says, take it. I give up. It's too small.
I also want to talk about the state of the franchise. I mean, I was excited leading up to it, and I was not disappointed. That's our one consistently excellent part of our organization. And since you guys were talking about Cam Newton's likability last week, I wanted to throw out there, the reason why I don't like Cam Newton is for the same reason I don't like J.J. Watt. They do things. I mean, it's unbecoming for a football player in the ultimate team sport to do things that say, look at me.
Oh, wait a second.
He's got a point.
Wait a second, Chris. Then you have to dislike 100 players in this league.
Maybe I do.
Okay, now, wait a minute. Don't hang up on Chris yet. Okay, because I get what Chris is saying, but there's a difference between Cam Newton and J.J. Watt.
What?
When J.J. Watt celebrates, do you ever see anybody run
over
the
terrain? No, they're all by himself.
He's all by himself.
Everyone flocks to Cam.
They flock to Cam.
Cam's the leader.
There's a difference there, Chris. You know, when J.J. Watt goes to celebrate, all his teammates are turning and walking off the field. You know, because it's a look-at-me thing. I totally get what you're saying when it comes to J.J. Watt, but when it comes to Cam Newton, I don't see that with Cam Newton because he's celebrating with the players and the players are celebrating with him. There's a difference between those two guys.
Wow. Thanks for the call.
We should never have taken that call. I don't know who asked for that.
Hey, there you have it. We'll back. We're back in a moment. We'll look around the National Football League. Get the latest transportation news and information on the award-winning Making Moves TV show. Watch every week on the first Tuesday of the month at 12:30 on Channel 4 and every Thursday after Nightline on ABC 25. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio. Wind and Fire, Jaguars Thursday winding down. The founding members passed away today. Do you remember? J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Jeff Lagerman, Jaguars Thursday. It is time to look around the National Football League.
I think I like Earth, Wind, and Fire better than Lady Gaga.
Way better.
Yeah, I did too. I think if I had to choose one.
By the way, check out the Hanania Automotive
Group. Sorry, did I jump in front of you?
That's my fault. They've got 10 brands, hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and thousands in savings.
Talk about choking.
The old script that I wrote.
Talk about choking.
We look around the National Football League. A new Rooney Rule for women. Roger Goodell spoke at the first women's summit at Super Bowl 50 today. They'll require teams to interview women for executive positions. What do you think, guys? What do you think?
I just think.
So does that mean like GMs?
It said executive positions. Did not clarify.
I mean, how many women are out there qualified to be GMs?
I think diversity is a great thing, but I also think that a lot of times it becomes emotion. You know, going through the motions. You know, and a lot of times it's
if they're talking about executives, we have two. Mm-hmm. Female executives.
That's correct.
Mega, who's our
senior VP, general counsel.
General counsel. Mega and Parade. Kelly Flanagan, who's our CFO.
That's correct.
And so we have
are
two.
Are they talking about
those are,
it?
I think they must be those
personnel?
Are.
Personnel?
I think it's exec. No, because you know what? It's not personnel because the Rooney Rule is already in effect for personnel people. Coaches and personnel, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but it is for the lead spot. But it's not really.
I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know if it's just executives like in your front office, like as part of the executive team.
The story I saw did not clarify too much, but they did mention Amy Trask, who had 16 years as CEO of the Raiders.
Yeah, but my question is.
And Donna Ponte down in Miami, who's in the football administration.
Yeah,
side.
Those are
football.
And Mega and Kelly do an amazing job here. I don't care. I mean, listen, hire the most qualified person, man, woman, black, white, you know.
Whatever.
Whatever color you are, creed, whatever, hire the best person. But I guess my question would be, as a GM, if it goes to the GM level, how many women GMs are out there or personnel people in the whole world?
I don't know if there's any.
I mean, so that'd be hard to say.
Does any team have a female in
scout?
The personnel scout?
I don't know.
Donna Ponte with the Dolphins.
No, she's an administrator.
VP of football administration. Right?
That's
different.
That's different.
Different.
Different. Different.
Also, Dean Blandino this week said that more female officials are in the pipeline.
Fine. It's great. I think if they're good, bring them in.
This year, in fact, I had not a surprise that when the NFLs go around and visit NFL training camps, it seems like the one group, or if there is a group of officials that has somebody that would be a focal point, you know where they typically send them?
Jacksonville.
Right here. Because it doesn't garner the media fanfare that it would if it was in New York or San Francisco or Dallas or whatever. So the lady that was the first female official this year was here working in the Jaguars camp and had a chance to talk with her a little bit.
Yeah, Sarah Thomas.
And Sarah, first of all, she's very pleasant to talk to, very educated on football, knows her stuff. And her attitude was awesome. And I really enjoyed talking with her. And I think she did a great job this year.
You know
she did
what?
A great job.
I have no idea what she did job-wise, what, you know, the good thing was, no one was talking about it.
That's why I said she did a great job.
Yeah, so she must have done a good job.
That's what you want officials. Yeah, that's right. You don't want to recognize any official.
No.
And she was not recognized for any screw-up.
I think she did a couple of our games, too, or at least one of them. I remember
one
of them.
At least.
At least one. So, yeah, if there's more women officials that are better than the men or as good, give them the job. I mean, who cares?
The Cleveland Browns will reportedly cut ties with Johnny Manziel once the new league year begins in mid-March.
Needs to
Another
happen.
Incident.
Needs to happen.
JP.
He needs help.
Well, you know what makes you think, you realize, you sure get the feeling he only went to rehab last year because someone in his PR team told him that it would look good. Because there was really no sense that he really wanted to change, at least from the outside. And, you know, it's not fair. Maybe it was different on the inside, but... You know, goes to Vegas when he supposedly has a quote-unquote concussion and doesn't show up to treatment. And then
wearing a wig, by the way.
Wearing a wig, which is great. Earlier in the year, he had an issue of possible domestic violence with his girlfriend.
That's
no
the
charges.
And then another one
just recently where the girlfriend called the police, I guess, but didn't want to press charges and then worries about his well-being because she can't get hold of him. So they have a helicopter.
Looking for him.
So here's my question. If his name wasn't Johnny Manziel, would they send a helicopter looking for him?
No.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah.
So I don't get why. Why the helicopter?
I don't know. It's just Johnny Football, and he's in Texas, the great state that he won a Heisman at. Mm-hmm.
Does Dallas take him? Does Jerry take him? Because one of these guys is going to Dallas, my guess. RG3 or Johnny Manziel. Which one?
Which one's going to sell more tickets?
Ooh.
I don't know. It's tough.
Down there. Yeah.
Baylor's big.
Yeah, but Johnny... I think Johnny would sell more tickets.
What a disaster.
Because you know why? It's like going to NASCAR.
You know what? Why not?
You want to see the wreck, right?
Why not bring both of them in?
That'll do it for Jaguars Thursday. Enjoy Super Bowl, guys.
All right, you too, JP.
Tony Boselli, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato, JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.